We are thankful for the opportunity of being able to discuss with you again some additional truths from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, particularly the parable of the pearl of great price. We've thought with you about this parable for two or three studies now, and we have a few added thoughts to leave with you today that must not be neglected, but refresh your minds concerning this brief parable recorded in verses 45 and 46 of Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We've suggested to you that the pearl of great price is the church, the body of Christ, and the merchant man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been examining in the Word of God various reasons why we know the pearl is representative, symbolic of the Lord Jesus. And I would like to suggest one or two things more, which make the pearl an excellent illustration of what the church is. Something else about pearls. If pearls were left in oysters, they would never be able to fulfill one of the things for which they are intended. The pearl is intended to be very precious to the individual who receives them. We are aware that pearls are of varying degrees of value, but if a pearl is presented as a loved gift to an individual, even though someone may have a pearl, someone else that is, may have a pearl that is much bigger and of greater value, the individual who has the loved gift may say, "This is the most valuable thing in the world." The individual is not talking about monetary value. He's talking about the value of love. I've mentioned to you at different times that my beloved wife is with the Lord, has been for some 14 years at the point of this discussion. And one of the greatest delights of my life was to express my love to her by giving her gifts. Now, she never wanted any. She never demanded any. But it was a greater joy to me, I think, to give than for her to receive. But I loved to give her something that spoke particularly of my love. Actually, if you'll permit this personal statement, one of the things that I've missed most about her being gone is I don't have anybody to buy gifts for anymore. Oh, of course, I've got my children and my grandchildren, 14 of them, by the way. God's been so good. But I'm talking about that spatial relationship. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. But I remember I wanted to give her a string of cultured pearls, and all I could do was pray about it because I didn't have any way of making it possible. But God permitted me to do that. And she loved them. And she wore them on special occasions. No, I don't mean important occasions, but just special occasions. And she always said when she put them about her neck, "I know you love me." Oh, she didn't need those pearls, but they did speak of love. And after she was gone, as I prayed about it, I gave them to one of my daughters to use in her wedding and to keep for her own possession, an indication that I loved her just like I loved her mother. Different way, of course, but love. That's the thing I want to get across to you today, and you'll pardon those personal illustrations. I sometimes a bit embarrassed to mention them, but sometimes the Holy Spirit leads me to share them with you because they speak sometimes in words with which I cannot speak. And I do want you to know today that pearls have always been representative of the love that exists from the person who gives them for the person who receives them. And that's what Peter, I think, was talking about in the second chapter of the first epistle of Peter, the 7th verse, when he said concerning the Lord Jesus, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Precious. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ to us and we to him, because he purchased us and made us a value to him. Calling to mind what is suggested in our statement being the church, the manifestation of his love, reminds us of something else, and that is that the church was meant to be a showcase of glory throughout all eternity. And I'm reminded of that as I think about the pearl, a symbol of the church. Many are the jewels that individuals might have. Many are the precious stones that individuals might possess. But there's something about the luster of a pearl that's difficult to describe as far as beauty is concerned. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul describes the wonderful event that is going to occur when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth in glory, not for his church now, that will have already happened, but for his righteous reign upon the earth. And notice what is recorded. The Apostle Paul was speaking to some people who had not gotten a fair deal. Life had not treated them well. Perhaps that's true of some of you today. Yes, they were Christians, but everything had not gone well for them. They didn't get a fair deal in a lot of things, and they were troubled and hurt and worried about it. And so in verse 7, the apostle said unto you who are troubled, rest with us. My, that's wonderful, isn't it? To you who are troubled, rest with us. And when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice this verse particularly, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Did you notice? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And when he comes, he's going to be admired, not because of his own beauty, because of his own wonder. Yes, we've already talked about that. But he's going to be admired when he comes back because of the church, which shows forth his glory in that day as nothing else will. And that's the reason, I think, that the pearl is mentioned as much as it is in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, which describes the eternal dwelling place of the church, which is the body of Christ. Do you remember the description of the gates to that city recorded in the chapter? Refresh your mind and read the chapter again. We just don't have time to do it today. But you'll recall that every single gate of that eternal city was one single pearl. One single pearl. I do not believe that of all the jewels that might have been chosen for this particular use, the pearl was chosen by accident. I think the city, which is made so very, very beautiful by the presence of the pearl in its midst, carries out the symbolism of the truth of the church dwelling in the city. Remember, John wanted to see the city, and the Spirit showed him the church, and vice versa. I would like to suggest to you that this pearl, if you look back at Matthew chapter 13, was designated as the pearl of great price. Those two words, great price, are a translation of one Greek word, polutimos, which is emphasizing what we've touched upon already, something that is of great value to the seeker. And I want to emphasize that, because when the world looks at you and when the world looks at me, it cannot see anything of very great value. Why would Christ want to die for me? Why would Christ want to die for you? What is there about us? Well, as the world looks at it, absolutely nothing. But Christ can see what other folk cannot see. That's the reason why I'm never discouraged about individuals who sit under the Word and don't respond to the Word as well and as quickly as I would like for them to be. When I say not concerned, I mean I'm not hopelessly concerned. If they will just continue sitting under the Word, if you will just continue sitting under the Word, things will work out. Because the Lord Jesus Christ taught a lesson when he was speaking to Peter one day that cannot be denied. He said, thou art a little rock. but you are going to be a mighty stone. Nobody else could see that in Peter, but Jesus did. And when you think about it, what he's able to see in you is something that the world cannot see. You are the pearl of great price to him, because he can see in you something that you yourself do not see. If you are a member of the church, the body of Christ, how grateful you ought to be that Christ purchased you for himself and is working on you and will accomplish through you that which will be, as the apostle describes it in another passage of Scripture, to the praise of his glory. I have mentioned at other times in these studies, not recently as I recall, a little saying of a dear saintly child of God, when she said in her own way of expressing things, "I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be." That pretty well still tells the story. I'm not what I used to be. God in his mercy and his grace has made a change in my life. And nobody knows more than I that I'm not what I ought to be. And it does grieve me. But oh, how I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, in realizing with assurance that I'm not what I'm going to be. Someday, God is going to finish his work in my life. And then I'll be like him. For that's what John said. "Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." And you couldn't ask for anything better than that, could you? Beloved friend, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him as your Savior today. Turn it all over to him. You're missing so much when you don't.